Okay, we're about to start. So, welcome everyone to this talk about intelligence in Microsoft Graph. My name is Jon Meling, and with me on the stage is Andreas Eide. We are both program managers working for Microsoft. And as you can hear from my less than perfect English, we are from a galaxy far, far away. So, hands up everyone, or for those of you who have seen the movie, The Empire Strikes Back. A good raise of hands, excellent. So, does anyone know the name of the planet where Luke Skywalker was attacked by a Wampa and later had to be rescued by Han Solo? Soon. Hoth, exactly. And Hoth, despite its name, is an ice planet. And quite a few of the scenes from this movie was shot where we are from. And similar to Hoth, it's a cold and sometimes very, very dark place. So, where are we from?
California.
Yep, Norway. So, we're both from Norway. Awesome. So, this is a map from Bing Maps. And as you can see, all the way up there is Norway, far, far to the right. And there's a big red dot there. And that red dot is Finse. There's actually the site where they shot the scenes from that movie. But if you think that is far to the north, think again. You see that second red dot up there? That is Tromsø. That is where both me and Andreas were born or raised. So that's actually all the way up to the far to the top of Norway at 69 degrees north, way above the Arctic Circle. So if you draw a line westwards, we end up here in Alaska. I don't know what's up there. There's no Microsoft development office up there, that's for sure. So unfortunately, this guy, he chickened out, and he moved to southern parts of Norway, to our capital of Oslo. That's the third red dot there. Which is, I think, a shame, because look at what he's missing out on. So that is roughly the same as Anchorage, by the way. So it's still quite north. But this is what he's missing out on. When it's dark, it's not really dark. We have all this amazing light to entertain us during the winter. Okay, so enough about geography. Let's talk a bit about history. So Andreas and I are part of what has been historically known as FAST. And FAST was pioneering the way in enterprise search since the turn of the millennium. In 2008, we were acquired by Microsoft. And since then, we have been delivering search experiences to SharePoint and SharePoint Online. And we used to be all about search. But now, we're also all about intelligence. Not me and him. But we're talking about the intelligence we gain by applying machine learning on how people are working together and what they are working on. So, and this intelligence we want to use to make people be more productive. And the intelligence surface in Office 365 is becoming available through the Microsoft Graph. And through this, and the Microsoft Graph gives a unified developer story across entities like email, meetings, and files. But and also we get the insights across all of these entities. So the first experience that was built on top of the graph was Delve. But we don't. Now we're trying to focus a bit about how we can apply the intelligence of the graph into the workloads where people are actually working. Delve is a specific destination, but we want to give this to you inside of Word. We want to give it to you inside of everything that's connected to Office. So at the end of this session, we hope that you are excited about what we are delivering to Office 365 based on this intelligence, and that you are inspired to incorporate this intelligence into your own experiences through our new REST APIs. So the rest of the session has the following structure. We will first go through what is the Microsoft Graph. We will explain what is a rich relationship and what are insights. Then we will look at three different topics. We will look at people and profile, trending documents, and share documents. And with each topic, we will give you some experience demos from Office 365, and then we will really deep dive into the APIs themselves and take a look at what are the API calls that we have used to build that experience. And we hope that you can use this as well when you want to update your own systems or line of business systems or customer experiences. All right, so just a hands up, how many are developers here? Awesome. There will be code, we promise. Okay, so with that, I will hand it over to Andreas.
Okay, as John said, all the intelligence that we surface in Office 365 is becoming available for developers through Microsoft Graph. And Microsoft Graph allows you to access entities, relationship between entities, and now also insights across entities. Traditionally, in enterprise software, we had lots of silos with only loose connections between users, documents, messages, and meetings. And in Microsoft, we have different cloud services powering our Office 365 offering. We have SharePoint, we have Exchange, we have Azure Active Directory, OneDrive. All of these have different ways of integrating with them, and that provides complexity for you as developers when you want to integrate this functionality into your line of business application. So the Microsoft Graph breaks down barriers. Come on, break down barriers. The Microsoft Graph breaks down barriers by organizing knowledge and connecting you to the information that matters to you. This allows you to traverse a graph of information, and you don't need to understand which service powers the different underlying entities. And take the example of files. I have files in my OneDrive. If someone in Microsoft has modified a file in my OneDrive, I can navigate over to the user entity representing that user. And the information about that user is actually an aggregation of data from Active Directory, from SharePoint, and from Exchange. But as a developer, you don't need to worry about that. Microsoft Graph abstracts that away for you. Another example is file sharing. Very often we share files. We can share files that live in SharePoint, that live in OneDrive, they can be attached to the email or live in third-party services. And it can be sometimes hard to recall how you shared a file or where it lives. And Microsoft Graph listens to file sharing and provides intelligence so you can get back a file shared with you without you having to remember where the file lives or how it was shared. So Microsoft Graph allows you to build the same type of rich functionality into your applications that is surfaced in Office 365. Later today, we will show you how we surface trending documents in Delve and also how OneDrive surfaces document discovery. Using the new APIs in Microsoft Graph, you can provide the same kind of functionality into your applications. Let's say you're building a project management application and you want to show documents trending in your project. You can call our new APIs to provide trending documents in your project to your users. So Microsoft Graph is the unified API. It gives you one API endpoint to call. Microsoft Graph federates out and talks to all our cloud services. And you have one URL space to access all our cloud services. And you can access them with one authentication token, and you can navigate across these entities without dealing with the fact that they're living in different services. But Microsoft Graph is becoming more. Microsoft Graph is also about intelligence. So think about Microsoft Graph also as a reasoning layer, listening to activities, listening to file modification, file uploads, emails, conversations in groups. And Microsoft Graph listens to these signals and applies machine learning techniques to create what we call rich relationships and insights. And these rich relationships and insights can then connect to different entities living in different workloads. And we're exposing these rich relationships and insights through the Microsoft Graph API. So you have an easy way to access these rich relationships, connecting you to all this data across Office 365. We also take security and privacy very seriously. We will never expose a document you don't have access to. If a document is trending around you, but you don't have access, you will not see that document trend. If you read an email or if you open a document, that's a private signal. But if 100 of my colleagues view a document, we can apply machine learning techniques to identify this as a document trending around me. Today, you will hear us talk a lot about relationships, rich relationships, and insights. And I'll spend a few minutes to discuss what this is, what I mean by this. So in Microsoft Graph, a relationship is a navigation property from one entity to another. Take the example of a file in OneDrive. It's represented in Microsoft Graph as a drive item. It has a last modified by user navigation property over to the user that last modified that file. So that's a direct navigation from one entity to another. So let's say Yina here modified a file that Jon has written, then Ina will be the last modifier of that file. And the last modified by user navigation property on the drive item will navigate over to Ina's user. But let's say that Jon then later shared this file with me on email. Then we will create what we call a shared rich relationship. And a rich relationship can connect to one or more entities. And it has metadata, such as what was the subject of the email that was used to share the file, and other properties that are relevant for you to expose sharing information. So in this case, the shared rich relationship connects to the file that was shared, it connects to the message that was used to share the file, and the user who shared the file. And it also has metadata. And in this case, Jon emailed the file to me 3 p.m. yesterday. So that's a rich relationship, as opposed to the direct relationship. And then you have insights. So insights are a class of rich relationships created by the Microsoft Graph intelligence. So since Jina and Jon are people I work closely with, and our intelligence understands that these people are important to me, it will actually then create a trending insight around me. So I can discover this file as relevant to me, and they'll, for instance, provide this as a document I should know about. So that's an insight.
All right. So the first thing we will look into in more depth are the people and profile APIs. And I want to show you some experiences that are built on top of these APIs. First, I will show you the brand new edit profile experience inside of Office 365, which will be released in Q4. And then I will show you how we have built a custom solution inside of OAuth that allows you to contextualize someone, and that is built on both of these two APIs. And we think that people are super important. And we are on a mission to revitalize these experiences and make them uniform throughout Office 365. And some of them will be specific destinations, like your profile. But most of them will be pervasively available at your fingertips in the workload that you're currently working in. So, and you can use these same APIs to enrich your own line of business systems with similar functionalities. So before we go to the demos, let's take a few more moments to learn about the profile API.
So we will cover two APIs in the section about user and people. And the first is the profile API. And the profile API allows you to get information about users. So if you wanted to display in your application what is the name of the user, the job title, their skills, you can call the profile API. If you call the me endpoint, you'll get data about the sign-in user. You can then do a further specify on a query if you want additional properties back. You can also update the user profile using the me endpoint. If you want to have data about other users, you can call the users endpoint and get data about other users, if you allow the application to get that data. And then you can also access information about the organizational structure. So we have a manager navigation property, which you can use to navigate from the user to the manager of the user. And you have a direct reports navigation property, which returns a collection of users reporting to that user. But one of the really nice things about the profile API is that it abstracts away the fact that the profile is actually stored in different underlying services. Some data is mastered in Azure Active Directory, for instance, my display name and the organizational structure. Some data is mastered in Exchange, such as the photo. And some data is mastered in SharePoint, such as the projects and the interests and the skills. But this fact is abstracted away for you by the Microsoft Graph. It federates out and aggregates this into a consistent user profile experience. And you can imagine that as our service evolves, other services can provide profile data that can be exposed to Microsoft Graph in this API. So now we'll do a demo, first of the experience showing the profile, and then on the API.
OK. So now I'm in OneDrive for Business. And actually, I'm in Andreas' OneDrive for Business. And as you can see, he has some files there. I bet he has more, but these are the ones that the system will allow me to see. So what I want to show you now is how we have integrated, not responding, there we go. How we have integrated these APIs into OneDrive for Business. And as you can see here, this is a contact card for Andreas. I have his title and where he's working. I can connect to him using Skype or email. I see who he's reporting to. This is, of course, a demo tenant. He's not reporting to Satya, but although he wishes to do that sometime. And I can see also documents that are that Andreas is working on. So this is actually helping me understand something about Andreas. as you can see on the bottom, there is something called more about Andreas. So I can go and click on that. Now, this takes me to his profile page in Office 365. So has anyone seen this before? Yeah? Somebody has not seen this before? OK. So I see the same information. So the top of the card is really similar to the smaller card we saw previously. But now I can see some sections below here about me. This is something that Andreas took time to curate himself. This is not system generated. And the same with the project and skills and what school he went to. So this gives me a lot of context about Andreas. But I can go even deeper. So let me click on contact information. And this is the brand new profile experience. It's a bit different when I'm seeing his, because I can't edit his one. But I can edit my own, and I will show you briefly. But as you can see, Andreas filled in all of this. And we can scroll down and look at it. But I see that Andreas actually has put in his birthday information here. He's born on May 29th. And I don't remember doing that on my own profile. So let me go to my profile. Yep. I see it's very similar. I see the same things. But if I click on this one, now I'm in an edit mode. And these are the different things that I can fill out. So I'll go and add my birthday. So I'm going to add May. '29. Now, that's a coincidence. But we have the birthday on the same day. Anyone else with birthday May 29th? Yes. Two, actually. Awesome. OK. When I'm not working for Microsoft, I'm actually a soccer coach. So down here, you can see that I've added some interests and hobbies. I'm a coach, and I'm interested in soccer. So what we have shown you now are two new experiences inside of Office 365. And now we want to show you the APIs that we have used to build this. So with that, I'll hand it over to Andreas.
OK, so now we're going to start looking at the profile API in Microsoft Graph. If you want to play with Microsoft Graph, and if you want to learn about it, graph.microsoft.io is the place to go. There's great documentation and getting started guides. And there's also the Graph Explorer that we will use a few times today that you can use to play with the APIs. So now I'm here in the demo tenant. I'm signed in as Jon, so I'm pretending to be Jon right now. And I'm going to do a call on the me singleton to get back Jon's profile. And now I get back the core user profile properties for Jon. I see his name, I see that his address in the office in Tromsø, and I see his the preferred language and so on. I can further then specify I want additional data back or different data back. So I'll do a select. And I get his skills, his past projects, and his interests. And now I see I get back a few more properties or on another set of properties. And these are basically the properties that the Dell profile page shows. So if I now want to go and update Jon's profile, I can do so since I'm signed in here as Jon. I cannot update his profile if I were signed in as myself. So I'll do a patch. And I'll just basically copy what I got back. And I'll not update his display name, but I update his about me. So Jon is ambitious. So his plan is to become CEO of Microsoft. And I'll not update his interest, but I'll add a project to his project list. He has been working on the Ignite 2016 project. and I'll not update his skills. He hasn't gained any skills just recently. But now I'll patch his profile. And that was okay, and I can try to get it. And you see now that I've updated his profile. And if you go to Delve, in Jon's profile, it should be updated with this data. So you can use this API to incorporate profile information into your applications if you want to allow users to update their skills or add interests or pass projects in a project management application. You can integrate this functionality into your own line of business applications. Go to see Jon's profile just to verify it was updated. And you see here that his biography is updated and his past product has been updated. You can do more with the profile API. We can learn more about Jon. I can learn who his manager is. So I want to get the manager navigation property and navigate to Jon's manager. In this case, it's Satya. So we have a quite small organization set up in our demo tenant. You can navigate to Satya's user entity. So now we're navigating from Jon to his manager, which is Satya, another entity in the Microsoft Graph. And then you can see who are the direct reports of Satya. And you get back a few users. Yina is also reporting to Satya in our tenant. So am I, and Jon as well, and Nils Petter in our team. So now we looked at how we can use the profile API to basically access structured information about users. So basically, we have looked at these API calls.
Okay. So the profile API gives you structured information about the person, like profile properties, like skills, and the reporting structure, and so on. But people work with people they're not formally connected to. And I work closely with Yina Arenas in Microsoft on the Microsoft Graph. But if we traverse the org structure inside of Microsoft, not our fake org structure, but the proper org structure, there's actually 10 hops between me and Yina. And if I call the people API, Yina is in my top 10 list of the people I work the most with. This might say something about the org structure inside of or the Microsoft hierarchy, but to me it says something else. It tells me how we're actually able to work together inside of Microsoft across organizational boundaries. And it also says something to me about we have the intelligence in our services to actually discover this. And we expose this intelligence in Microsoft Graph for you to show in your own line of business applications. So the People API allows users to efficiently search and browse other people and the people who matter the most to them. The API returns a rich view of these people containing everything that you as a user know about that person. And the primary responsibilities of the People API is to rank people based on their relevance to you and display the result as a unified person rather than disconnected contacts and endpoints. So the People API also supports search. I can search for people, and the results are sorted on relevancy. So I get the most important people to me back first. The API supports fuzzy matching and phonetic search. So if you misspell something, the API will actually deal with that for you. So if you're building a line of business application, for instance, a project management application, and you want to find people to add to a project, you can augment the search with a project topic to get more relevant results. So a key objective of the People API is to provide a unified view of a person. And there are multiple representations of people inside of Office 365. So this includes Active Directory, a user's Outlook contacts, social contacts from connected accounts, relevant people from the user's communication pattern, collaboration history, and business relationships. And this creates complexity. It's create complexity when trying to enumerate and interact with these people entities. since they are sourced from multiple services and have varying metadata properties. So in order to get a complete view of a person and to avoid duplicate results, we return the people that we returned through the people API is a single unified view compromised of everything that the user knows about that person. So to summarize, the person entity provides data from Active Directory, from Outlook contacts, from social contacts such as LinkedIn, and from other interactions like sending and receiving email.
So the People API is built on the People model, and the People model uses ranking algorithms from Microsoft Research to provide you with the most relevant users to you. The People API listens to signals, it listens to communication signals on emails, it listens to document collaboration, and it also looks at the organization structure and also the public distribution list and public groups that the user is a member of. And this allows the People API, by listening to signals, to dynamically update the model and return you the most relevant people for you. The People API also preserves privacy. When I look at the most relevant people to me, if another person, Jon, looks at my most relevant people, he will see a different set of people because some of my interactions with other people may be based on private signals, and he will not expose that this private relationship that I have. For instance, I was having an affair with Jon. You wouldn't want that to be exposed if you had no other relationship. So the People API, we will take a look at that. We will see how it's different from when I call it to myself and when someone else calls it on me. So we get a different set of people back because the signals are private. Okay.
Demo. So we're going to do another demo. This time, we're going to do the same pattern. We're going to do the experience first. And then we're going to look at the API calls you can do to build something similar inside of your own experience. Now I'm in OWA, and this is where I do a lot of my work. And I see here that I have an invite from someone named Gareth Jones. It says, Ignite, wrap up, and bear. I don't know who Gareth is. I think I'll open it just in case, just to see. Come on. Not responding. All right, so let's wrap up Ignite. I'll book a table. Okay. I see that Gareth also sent this to Andreas and Gina. I know Gina. I work closely with her. I also know that guy, I think, by now. So who is Gareth? How do I contextualize Gareth? I don't want to go into a meeting without being prepared. I don't want to go and meet somebody that I don't know who are. So I could ask him to tell me who Gareth is. But let's see if there are something inside of this workload that can help me instead. So if I hover over Gareth, I see a card similar to what we saw in OneDrive for Business. I can see that he is reporting to Gina Arenas. And I can actually see his title and that he works on extensibility for Microsoft Graph. And I see that he sent me an email on September 26th. But if I click on his name, I get more. I get his full title, it's the same, but now I get all of his contact information. And this is the same as we saw in OneDrive. I can see his organization, he's still reporting to Gina, so she hasn't fired him yet. Down below, I see the emails that he has sent me. I see files, and those are actually the classic attachments, or the files that have been shared through email, so I can just click briefly on that. Events, these are calendar events, upcoming calendar events with Gareth. And I can see the event today, later today. But I think most importantly is this one, working with. So this shows that this shows the people he's actually working with. So obviously, he sends a lot of email to himself or something because he ended up in his own list. But I see Andreas and Ina there. So now I actually feel that I know something about Gareth, so I will go to this meeting. But I think I'll also invite someone else, and let me show you one more place where we hook this up. So I want to invite one of my colleagues, and I'm going to use a new feature that is launched in OWA. It's called @mentions. It uses the same API down below. So I'm going to do a at, and then Jan, and there's this guy, Jan Heier Johansen. So let me add him. And as you can see, the second I clicked enter, he was also added to the to line. So please join me. It's hanging again. All right. Please join. I'm going to send that to Olaf. Maybe he shows up. Okay, so now I've shown you two experiences. One that is inside of your compose experience in email. You don't have to go and look for people. It uses the list of the people you work closely with. So it's the same. It's the working with list for you. And then I show the same working with list, but then for Garrett. So I see who he is working closely with. Okay, so let's go and look at the APIs for the people.
Okay, so what we're going to look at now is the people API. So the people API is currently in beta. It's available in Microsoft Graph and also in the Outlook REST API. So the demos I'm going to do now are in the Microsoft Graph API. You can do the same calls also through the Outlook REST API. So I'll switch over to beta. So if you wanted to build like a people auto-completion feature, like we just saw in OWA, where you can add mention someone, if you want to build that kind of functionality, or if you want to show the working with type of functionality in your own application, you can do so using the people API. So I'll start off, I'm signing in here as myself, as my user, and I call me people. And now I get back the top people around me. This is the working with that we saw in OWA. So these are the people I'm working with in this tenancy. So you see here, the first one I get back is Jon, and the second one I get back is Gareth, actually. And interestingly enough, if you look at the properties I get back here on Jon, this is actually an aggregation of both directory data and data that I have in my local Outlook contact for Jon. I made a note in my Outlook contact for Jon that we have birthday on the same day. So that's not coming from the directory, that's coming from my Outlook contact for Jon. So the people API aggregates my personal contact about Jon and also the directory information about Jon. We can also see here I have an aggregation of phone numbers. Some of them are coming from the directory and some are coming from my Outlook contact. You can see here I have also added Jon's home address in my Outlook contact for him. So if you want to go and look at the beautiful northern lights, you can visit Jon up in Tromsø. This is where he lives. Yeah, and his LinkedIn address, and so on. So this is the aggregated view that I have about Jon, and in return in the people API, by just calling it in the Microsoft Graph. I can then do most standard query options here on the people API. I can do, let's say I want to have the top 50 people back, but I only want to see their display name. So now I get back a number of users that I'm working with, Jon, Gareth, Gina. And if you scroll down this list, I'll see that eventually I get some people that I'm actually not Microsoft employees. These are former colleagues of mine, like Gisser. He's a former colleague of mine from another company. So he's not working for Microsoft. If you, in your application you only want to get back tenant users, you can filter in the people API to only get back users that are sourced from the directory. So I'll copy in the query here. So now I'm doing the people API query, but I'm filtering on sources has to contain directory. So sources any, source type equals directory. So there has to be a directory as a source for the contact. And I'll show you on the slide later, there's the syntax, so you don't have to write it down now. And now I get back only directory users. I can also add just display name. So now the people I know that are only Outlook contacts but are not working for Microsoft will not be returned in this query. You also support search in the people API. So if you want to build an auto-completion feature or you can use the search operator. I can search for people starting with J. And so now you can, as you can imagine, that as I start typing, we can start to show a list of users. and I can search for Jon. But I can, let's, in Norwegian, we spell Jon as J-O-N. Let's say I actually misspelled his name. I wrote John with an H, which is sort of the American way of writing John. I'll still get back Jon as the number one person, because we use fuzzy matching and phonetic search in the People API to get relevant results. And the second user I get back is Garrett Jones, somewhat like John Jones. And the third user here is Jan, because his last name is Johansson. So the phonetic search capabilities of the People API allows you to even find people, even though you don't know exactly how you spell their name. You can also do topic searches. So let's say I want people who have a topic of graph in their people object. And this uses topics extraction from email to add topics to users. And now I got two people back, myself and Jon, because we are the only people in this tenant with the topic of graph. Okay. Let me also look at how we can get the people, the other people are working with. When Jon was contextualizing Garrett, he was sort of seeing who is actually Garrett working with. So first I go to Jon, and then I want to navigate over to Jon's user to get the people he's working with. So I got first the people I'm working with, then I navigate over to Jon's user by taking his ID. And now I'm getting back the users Jon are working with. I got back Jon's users first. So now I've got navigated to Jon's user entity. And I'm going to call people on Jon. And these are the people Jon is working with. And if you notice, Jon was number one in my people list, but I'm not here in his people list. Satya is here, Susan Meadows, Shi Lu, Jon himself, Yina, and so on. And if I then switch over to another browser and call the same API as Jon, got the beta. You'll see when he calls people, I'm returned as number one person. But our communication is private signal, so I'm not returned in his public people list. Okay, so we looked at a number of API calls. We looked at how we can call the People API to get people you are working with, me people, how we can do additional query parameters, how we can do a search, and we can do topic searches, and also how we can filter using the People API, and how we can call the People API on other users.
Okay, so far we looked at people and profiles. Now we're going to change gears. We're going to look at content. And we're going to start with trending documents. And when we talk about trending documents, we refer to all the activity that goes around you and the people that you work closely with. And we harness the insights from the activities that they do with the documents. And then we can promote content that people are collaborating on. And until recently, the only place where you could see this was in Delv. But as we talked about initially, we're now starting to see this type of information pervasively available inside of the workloads in Office 365. So before we turn our attention to this and look at the APIs, let's learn about the trending API. So we're standing up a brand new API called insight/trending. And this will replace the existing API called Trending Around that exists in Microsoft Graph today. Through this new API, you can get the exact same type of data. You can get files that are trending around you and files that are trending around someone else. The big improvement with this API is something called Reactive Analytics. And Reactive Analytics allows for files to trend in near real time. Whereas the old API, this could actually take up to an hour before things started happening from the back end. And trending documents are based on two types or two classes of signals. First, the model considers the people that you are working with. And that is the model we already looked at. Then it looks at document signals for all of these people. And document signals can be document edits, it can be document views, it can be document modifies or sharing. And again, the model takes privacy into account. Document views, for instance, is private. Nobody should know that I have viewed the document. But if we look at this across the tenancy, maybe 100 people, 200 people have looked at that document, then we can use crowdsourcing techniques. Then we don't expose who actually seen it. Then we can make that document start trending. And if a document is trending that you don't have access to, well, then it's simply not trending for you. So the net effect of this is that when you call the trending API, the results will be different for each user, even though you work closely together. Okay, so now I'll pass it over to Andreas to talk about the data model for trending.
Okay, so the data model for Insights Trending is much richer than the old work trending around API. When you do call Insights Trending, you get back what you call trending rich relationships or trending insights. So in this case, I have got back two trending insights. And the first one is a PowerPoint living in OneDrive. So the trending insight itself has a resource navigation property to the actual OneDrive file. And that allows you to traverse that relationship to get additional data about that trending file. The trending insight is also then itself has metadata. It has information about why is this file trending around me. And, it can be trending because five people around me have viewed the document. In this case, it's trending because Yina has modified the document and I work closely with Yina. So that we identify this document as trending around me. So that's a reason. We have a weight so that is used to order the trending documents or trending insights based on relevancy. And the trending insight also contains what we call resource visualization properties that you can use to render a visual representation of files or other resources trending in your application. Let's say you wanted to have a card view or a list view. You can call Insights Trending, and you don't have to navigate to the trending resource to get that data. You can simply make one call to Insights Trending, and you get back all the data you need to render a compelling visual experience like Delve with trending resources. In the future also, we will expose other types of entities trending here, like sites. So if you go to the new SharePoint Home experience, you will see recommended sites, and they will be also be exposed here at later stage with as trending sites. So then the resource navigation property would be to a site entity.
Okay, so we're gonna do another demo. I'm gonna show you three trending experiences. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because the APIs are more important. So let me change to my... So now I'm in my own profile page in Delve. And as you can see at the top, there are the recent documents that I'm working on. It's hanging again. Below here, I can see the person that I am working with. And that is the people API we just looked at, right? But below here, the discover section, this is actually the documents that are trending around me based on the people that I work with. And I'm only seeing the documents that I'm allowed to see. So that's important to remember. Now, if we take a different pivot and I go and look at Andreas's page, as you can see, it's the same type of page. And the documents that are trending around him are different because he's working with not the same set of people that I'm working with. And also the access rights to these documents are not the same. So I'm allowed to see all of this, but if one of you went to see it to Andreas' page, the set would be different than what I am seeing here. So Delve used to be the only place where you could see this type of data. But as we talked about, we're working hard to change that. So if I go back to OneDrive. I can see something here called Discover. So if I click on that, these are the documents that are trending inside of my tenancy. So this is just one example of where we put trending documents inside the different workloads. And we will do a lot more of this in the years to come. OK, so with that, I'll hand it back to Andreas for some API goodness.
OK, so if you want to show the same kind of functionality in your own application, like we show in Delve, and also like the OneDrive shows now with trending documents, we're setting up this new API called Insights Trending. And we plan to release that in beta in next quarter. So it's currently in testing in Microsoft. So you cannot make this call as we speak, but within a few months, you should have this API available to you. So first, we have a special version here that we call Test Insights. So now I'm signed into the test tenancy as myself. And I'll just make sure I get myself back. OK, so now I'm on my user in my subgraph. And now I might want to make a call to the Insights Trending API. And if you take a quick look at Delve first, see which documents I see trending around me. I have some documents here trending around me. And you notice, for instance, that the second document here is called Office Graph Overview, and it's a Word document. So let me do a call to Insights Trending. And now we get back a set of trending rich relationships. So if you take a look at the second one, for instance, this has a weight that's used, so all the list here is sorted on weight. And it has the resource visualization properties that's used to render the card in Delve. Here is the Office Graph Overview title. The type of this document is actually a Word document, as seen by the media type or MIME type. There's a preview image URL that you can use to render a preview image on the card. There's some text if you want to have a text representation of the trending file. And there's also information about the container, which means in which container or library is this file living. In this case, the file is living in a team site. The container type is site. And it's the title of that team site is Office Graph. And there's a link here to the actual team site to go if you want to navigate to the container. And then we return the resource reference, which is actually the reference to the actual trending resource. And we have a web URL that you can use to render a click on the card to go to the file, and also the ID of the trending resource in Microsoft Graph. This trending resource is a drive item, a file, and this is the ID of that file in Microsoft Graph. You can look at the third one. It's also a Word document, and this is living in an Office Graph team site. And the fourth one here is also a Word document. If I now want to navigate to see more information about this trending file, I can then go to this specific trending insight. So now instead of getting the whole collection of trending resources, I'm getting just one of them. So we see the same information. And now I can actually navigate over to the drive item that's trending to get additional metadata for this trending file. So I'm following the resource navigation property that we have on the trending insight. So now I'm navigating from the trending insight over to the actual trending resource. And in this case, it's a file that was initially created by me, later modified by John Hart. And then we can see the file name and all additional metadata that OneDrive has for this API, for this file. And as the OneDrive API evolves, we get additional data back here as well. And now we can do a further navigation. I can go to, for instance, this user and figure out, OK, more about this user. So I want to navigate to this user and learn more about him. So now I'm navigating from the trending file over to the user who last modified the file. So now I navigate to the user. And now I can see if there are any documents trending around this user. Now I'm calling trending on that other user. And there's no files trending around them, so let me see if I have some documents trending around Jon instead. So instead, I'll try to call this on Jon. So now I'm on Jon's user, and I'll navigate to his trending files. So now I'm navigating, getting files trending around Jon. Of course, again, given that I have access, all the files I see here are files that are trending around Jon that I have access to. So this shows how you can, Microsoft Graph can do a navigation. I can start on myself, get back trending insights around myself, navigate to one of the files, navigate to the last modifier of that file, and then navigate to get files trending around that user. So this shows some of the power of Microsoft Graph, allowing you to traverse this graph of knowledge and insights. Yes, so these are some of the API calls we looked at. We looked at the insights trending, we navigated to the resource, I can go to another user to call insights trending, and we also will support filtering on the trending API. Let's say you only want to have trending PowerPoints, like in the last call. I want to have only files trending that are PowerPoints. Or if I want to only want to have files living in OneDrive, only I want to trending OneDrive files. So we can do further filtering on the trending API.
All right. So this is the last topic we have today. And this is the shared documents. So as a program manager, my responsibilities are quite wide. So it ranges from envisioning a new feature that we want to build into Office 365 to actually getting manager approval to build that feature. Then the day-to-day interactions with the developers who are building the feature, and external or partner communication to make sure that we deliver what we promise when we promise. And for me, this requires a lot of cooperation. And sharing is at the core of cooperation. If I don't share what I have conceptualized, I will never get manager approval to start a project. And if I don't tell the developers what to make, they will at least not make what I have envisioned. So, and this is all about sharing. So I share documents all the time, and I usually start sharing them quite early to get feedback from a select group of people. And then once I polish the document and feel ready to publish it, I share it more broadly, bringing transparency into what I'm working on. And there are so many ways to share. I can send it as an email, both as a classic or a modern attachment. It can be sent as a meeting invite. It can be posted in a group, with a group post. I can send it on Skype as a link. It can be shared directly from OneDrive or a team site in SharePoint Online. And files can live in different workloads, such as OneDrive for Business. It can live in SharePoint team sites. It can live in modern groups. I can create a SWAY for it. I can even send an email attachment with a modern attachment pointing to Box or Dropbox. And this is where it starts to get confusing. With this plethora of ways to share, how do I go about refining a document that was shared with me? I don't remember how it was shared. I don't remember where it is. And this is the promise of the shared API, to have everything that has been shared with you available through one API surface. So, as we said earlier, the Microsoft Graph breaks down barriers between workloads. And the shared API is a really good example of this. So files live all over Office 365, OneDrive, SharePoint sites, et cetera, and in external services such as Dropbox and Box. And the Microsoft Graph intelligence layer listens to signal across these sharing methods and provides one API to get at all of these files. So it allows experiences to provide functionality to users to recall shared files without the user having to remember where the file is located or how it was shared. And we will show you some examples of this later on. So before we go into the demo, let's take a look at the data model for shared.
Okay, so the data model, again, for shared is a rich relationship. So in this case, I have called inside shared. I'm getting back a set of files that I have shared or have been shared with me. So the API supports both files that I have received that's been shared with me and files that I have shared. And you can then do filter queries if you only want to have files that it has been shared with me. So the first file that I get back here is a file that Garrett emailed to me. In this case, he emailed it as what we call a classic attachment. That's given by the file attachment as the type of the resource. So in MicroGraph, a classic or copy attachment is a type file attachment. And he emailed this to me on an email message. That's why we shared it with me. So there's two navigation properties on the shared rich relationship, one to the resource and one to the last shared method, which in this case is the email. In addition, there's a navigation property to the user who last shared it. So last shared has metadata. The shared relationship has metadata. So what was the last sharing of this file? When was it shared? Who was it shared by? If it was on email, what's the subject of the email? And the type, which can be of email or it was shared directly in OneDrive. And also, the shared rich relationship has metadata that you can use to render a visual representation of the shared resource. This is the same structure that you have on the trending rich relationship. So the title is the title of the file. And again, you have preview image URL and preview text, and the type of the file that has been shared. The second example here that I'm getting back is a file that's living in OneDrive that's shared with me as on a calendar invite. So this is a modern attachment. So in this case, the resource navigation property navigates to the drive item, and the last shared method navigates to the calendar event. So you can imagine that you get back files shared with you, and they can live in different services, and they can be shared using different mechanisms, but you will get them back in this one API called Insight Shared. And you can use the properties on the shared insight or shared relationship to render a visual experience of the files shared with you. You can also use the properties on the sharing API, shared API, to filter, to get only back PowerPoints that has been shared with me, to get files shared by Jon, or to get only files that have been shared on email. You can filter on all of this to get recall specific files if you know what you're looking for.
Okay, so as I said, I spent a lot of time composing email and reading email. And I strive to be transparent into what I'm working on. So now I'm back in OWA, and I want to show you how we made it easy for you to share files inside of this workload. So I'm gonna start composing a new email, and I'm gonna send it to Andreas. And I still feel sad that he decided to move to Oslo. He chickened out. It's a really bad choice. I want to try to entice him to move back to Tromsø. So I made a little deck with some images from Tromsø that I want to share with him. And this file is living in Box. So I'm going to open Box once it starts responding. And here you see I have some soccer documents, but I have a PowerPoint deck called The Beauty of Tromsø. So I'm going to select this and attach as a Box file. And then I'm going to send to Andreas, come back home. So I'm going to send this email to him. So you can see now I took a file living somewhere else. I don't know if you've seen this before, but another thing that, while we are in OWA, something that's always annoyed me is that if I receive a classic attachment from someone and I want to compose a new email and I want to drag the classic attachment over to the new email, that's always been a hassle for me. So we have done something about that. So let me send a new message to Andreas. I'm going to press attach again. And now you see here something called recent attachments. So it's basically all the attachments that I have received or sent. So if I click on this one, I see the top one is the Beauty of Tromsø, which is the file I just sent. It's not the one I'm looking for. I'm looking for Ignite 2016. I want to share this with Andreas because I thought it was interesting. I'm going to attach it as a copy because it was originally a classic attachment. So check this out. Ignite. I'm going to send this. So let me quickly show you another place where we have the shared API. So if I go back to Delve, once this stops acting up, and I now refresh this page, you actually see the two files I just sent, Ignite 2016 and the Beauty of Tromsø. It calls the same API. So it gets back the recent files that I have received, and it stitches them together with documents that I'm working on. All right, so I can even open one of these if I click on it here. It will open this in this nice side-by-side view. I get the email conversation, and I get the document open inside of WAC. OK, so with that, we're going to do the last dive into the API. And Andreas will now show you the power of the soon-to-be fully operational shared API.
OK, so now I'm signed in on the demo tenant as myself. And I'm going to demo the new Insights shared API. And that's still not available to you. It's coming in beta in Q4. So we're using the test version. So I'm using test insights. And just see like type correctly. First here I get my user back. OK, now I'm going to call the Insights shared API. And obviously I get back a set of shared insights. I'll actually see that I only want to have the last five on back. So now I'm getting the last five files that either has been shared with me or by me. And this is what powers the recent attachments functionality that Jon just demoed. And I can see here, the last shared file with me was a file shared by Jon. It was shared today. The sharing subject was Ignite 2016. The sharing type is mail because this file was shared on mail. You can imagine that you can also share files directly in OneDrive. OneDrive supports shared sharing as well, so you can have different sharing types. And this is a reference to the way this file was shared. So this file was shared on a message, on an email message. And this is the, you can, if you want to render a click onto the actual message, you can use the web URL. This is the ID of the message. So if you want to get additional data on this message, you can navigate to the message. I'll show you that. So this is the sharing. And then you have the resource visualization, which is the actual file that was shared with me. So these are the visualization properties to render a representation of that shared resource. And in this case, this was actually a PowerPoint with titled Ignite. I think Gareth had this presentation just earlier today. I think it's this one, Gareth? Yeah. And it lives in my inbox. So the container type here is mail because Jon shared it as a classic attachment. And the resource reference here is to that actually classic attachment, which has a type file attachment. So that was the first file or the last file that Jon shared with me. Then the next file is the box file that Jon shared with the sharing subject of come back home. Sharing type again is mail. And now we see that I get back resource visualization properties for this file. And in this case, the web URL contains the link to the box file. So let me try to open that. So if you render that on a card, we could then navigate to that shared file. And here is Jon trying to get me to move back to Tromsø. It's nice, Tromsø, nice. Oh, yeah, this is actually the church where I was baptized. So I'm getting a bit sentimental right now. Isn't Tromsø beautiful? Yeah. OK, I may have to move back up there. The third file I get back here is a file that I shared. So this is actually a file shared by me. So you see it's shared by Andreas. I shared this a few days back. It has a title of spec on insight shared. So this is the specification for the API. it was shared on mail. And this is the mail that I used to share it. And this is the resource visualization properties for this document. In this case, it was a Word document because it's a specification. That's how we often write specifications in Microsoft. Some do write them in PowerPoint. And it lives in my OneDrive in this case. So the container type is OneDrive. And this is the resource reference to that shared file. So we can navigate to the actual file. And just take a look at the fourth one here, which is actually the meeting invite from Gareth, Wrap Up and Beers. So this was a file shared on email. And the file actually lives in the Microsoft Graph team site. And this is a reference again to that file. So files can live in different places. They can live in attached to email. They can be living in SharePoint OneDrive. They can live in team site. They can live in third-party services. All of these are available in this Insight Shared API. If I then want to get additional data for one of these files, let me take the example of the OneDrive file, the spec I wrote. I can then navigate to this one shared insight. And I want to fix the Graph Explorer so we can actually click these links, but for now I have to do it manually. So now instead of getting back the collection of shared insights, I'm getting back this OneDrive file. So this is the same data we have already looked at. Now I can navigate over to those to get more information about this shared insight. I can navigate to the resource, which is actually the file. So now I'm navigating from the shared insight to the file living in OneDrive. So now I get back the full metadata that OneDrive has for this file. And you can imagine, now you can download the file, you can delete the file, you can do all the operations you can do on a OneDrive file using the drive item. So we're actually now navigating over to that drive item. I can also navigate to the email that was used to share this file with me. So now we have a last shared method navigation property. So now I'm navigating from the shared insight to the email. And obviously I get back the full metadata for this email. The spec, the title of this email, the body, who were the receivers of this email. It was a document email sent from me to Gareth and Yina and Jon, and get a full data representation of this email. So this shows some of the power of Microsoft Graph. You can have insights spanning resources living in different workloads. So this insight spans actually email living in Exchange and files living in OneDrive. Let's say someone sent me a PowerPoint. I don't remember exactly what it was. So if I want to have only PowerPoints back, I can then do a filter on that. So now I'm actually doing a filter. So I'm calling insight shared, and I'm filtering on resource visualization media type equals, and then the media type for PowerPoints or new modern PowerPoints. And now I'm getting back all the PowerPoints that have been shared with me, or I have shared. So we see the first one here is a PowerPoint, and shows the second one should also be a PowerPoint. Yes. So now you can do you can do filter queries on the shared API to recall files that you want to get back at. Okay, I think that's what I wanted to show on the shared API. We looked at some of the queries. We looked at how you can do call insight shared and then get back shared insights, how you can navigate over to the resource that has been shared, how you can navigate over to the message that was used to share the file. And you can also do filtering that we showed, for instance, to get only PowerPoints back. Or let's say if I only want to get back files shared with me by a specific user, I can filter on the sharing history and the shared by, and then use the ID of that user. And you can filter on if I only want to have files shared with me that are shared on email, or only files that live in email, or only files that live in OneDrive, you can specify that in the filter queries.
Okay, so that was what we had to show you. This is the roadmap. The profile API is already out there. You can go and use that whenever you want. The people API is in beta now. And we want to have the trending API, or we will have the trending API and the shared API in beta by Q4. And we plan to release more APIs in the years to come. So please stay tuned for that. There will probably be a different session, most likely next year. So we'll look at that. So if you found this interesting, these are the other sessions about Microsoft Graph that we encourage you to go and see. Yina, you have your talk tomorrow. Yeah, you should go and see Yina tomorrow. Okay. Please give us feedback. It would be appreciated. And it stopped working. Oh. There we go. Okay, so we can open up for questions. Wow. Thank you. So I think you need, yeah. Can you turn on the microphone so they can?
They're on.
They're on.
So I do have one question, if I could. Everybody's been pushing with the cloud search and throw all your indexes up there. If you search external data, okay, out in the cloud, will Dell utilize that? If you have your indexing and searching on Office 365 potentially, will Dell utilize that information? Or does it need to be specific to sharing the index?
For now, it needs to be living inside of Office 365, so either in SharePoint or Exchange.
Okay, so it doesn't matter where the index lives.
So you can have an on-prem installation, and you can have hybrid setup. That will also work.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you have your index somewhere in Azure, for instance, you built your own custom.
Well, if you have your index, so let's say you're searching file servers, but you have your index in Office 365.
Right.
Can Dell utilize that?
If the index is in Office 365, Dell can utilize it.
It can use it. Okay. Will it use it by default, or do you have to?
So, per now, if it's in SharePoint, it will use it by default.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good enough. Thank you.
All right, two questions. With these trending type of analytics, what comes back with the graph, I think it's wonderful that it can look at all of the information that's related in 365. But businesses have other applications and other data that they want to see that's trending. So if, let's say, a project manager goes to My Analytics and they say, oh, this person is spending this many hours with this person, but they may be on a completely custom application having nothing to do with 365. We have reporting coming to the graph soon. Is there a way to post data? Let's say there's a custom application for a government or a high security company, and what they do is they have a Raspberry Pi badge scanning thing for in between buildings so that they can get in. Is there a way to say this person is going to this building or this person is in a custom application related to this person, like for a project or a task, and upload that information into the office, into 365 so you can see that trending relativity so that can be rolled up in your reports and things like that?
You want to take that one?
Right now, there is no way to add external data into the graph. So that's things we have. We are looking into, but there is nothing specific we can communicate at this point on that.
Okay.
We have been asked that before. Yeah. We want to do this. We don't know when.
Okay.
But that's something that we want to do.
Okay. Second question.
Yeah.
With the graph, what's stopping someone from looking at the CEO's email if they want to choose a user and do slash messages? And, you know, what's the security trimming around those type of...
So you can only call messages on yourself. You're not allowed to go to users' messages. That's blocked. That's not possible.
Okay.
So there's no way to go to see someone else's messages.
Okay.
The only APIs that's open on all the users are people and trending. But messages you cannot call on someone else.
Or files.
All files, no.
Perfect. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yeah.
Great job. Really, thank you. May I ask you whether it is possible to represent permissions for the objects in the APIs? For example, in a shared API, I didn't find no attribute for any object that represented permissions. You have a different API on the roadmap, or you are planning to extend this functionality? Because what's the benefit without knowing what people are going to share without permissions?
So you can always go back to the source system, right? So the graph is not the master of the file. Graph is just a representation of the file. So it will point you back to SharePoint, for instance, right? There you can go and see who has access to the file. So what we have built is basically, yeah, maybe you can go into more
I think we can discuss that offline afterwards, if you have more questions on that. Yeah. I'm not sure I fully understood the question.
Yeah. My pleasure, thank you.
Trending documents, if we, for example, like to have different sites, they're, for us, much more important, so we would like to change the weights of the trending document for different sites. Can we somehow do that?
That's also a request we got a few times. There's no way to do that as we speak. The only way to affect the trending right now is basically to fake activity on them. So you have to sort of, that's the only way you can influence the trending right now. But that's also things we're looking at, how you can ingest signals basically influencing the trending, and also how you can customize the trending models. But right now, there's no other way than faking activity.
I have a question. So what you guys demonstrated, it was almost instant, right? You deal with files and it instantly shows up. How is the story with SharePoint? Is it based on search when it comes to SharePoint? Or?
So we do get signals in near real time into the graph engine. Mm-hmm. But some data is sort of based on search and SharePoint, like if you update metadata about the document, mm-hmm. That's sort of based off the sort of that has crawl latency in SharePoint. Mm-hmm. So the lag from you if you rename a file, that would have crawl latency.
Okay.
But most of the signals have much shorter paths into the graph, so files can start trending much more quickly if a new file is added. But updating metadata on the file, that has a bit of a longer latency.
But
sharing the file or some of these signal modify and view signals, they have a much shorter path into the analytics.
Because before this one endpoint, we used to use SharePoint search to be able to use a graph.
Yes.
So is it still the same thing, or you guys have direct eventing from SharePoint?
So there's a new engine powering this API that's not released yet. So
okay.
The current graph, when you call the SharePoint APIs, that sort of has the old engine. There's a new engine that we call Reactive Analytics Engine that we are releasing as part, when we're releasing this API, we also, at the same time, releasing this new engine that allows documents to start trending much more quickly.
Right.
So there's a difference in the underlying technology from what you're using now with the SharePoint graph.
Oh. Yeah, we want to get to sort of conversational latency from something happening until the graph knows about it and can it be able to be called again, instead of this slow pipe we have through the crawler and SharePoint today.
Okay, cool. I have another question. Is Skype going to be part of the graph as well, like those conversations or anything around that?
Is Skype?
Link or Skype, is it going to be part of graph?
I think we are looking into having supporting links on, for instance, links to documents in Skype chats. Mm-hmm. That's there's not specific, but that's also something we're looking into, how we can support getting those signals in. So if you share a document in Skype, mm-hmm. or if you share a document, just a link in an email, those are signals we're looking to get in to also affect the analytics.
It's very similar to modern attachments, right? That is also a link pointing to something. So based on that, we can use the same principles or the same mechanisms to encapture that as well. So that's on the roadmap. I can't tell you when, because I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
From Calendar, there's already Skype online integration. You get the online ID property from a calendar in Brighton, for example, on a Skype meeting.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Hopefully not for Yammer, though.
Yeah. about Skype, there is plan to integrate the audio communications and so on between people into this API?
To capture audio?
I call you, so in the inside. Right. It's not just email, but another media, another type of...
So today we don't have that. We want, obviously, to have it at some point, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you got, I think that is one of the place where people work together, right? They talk on Skype, and same as we send emails to each other, we live in different cities. So it's how you affect the relevant people that you're working with. So it's a very important signal, and we want to get that.
Yeah, okay. And in fact, Delve, the application, is using this API?
Right.
Right.
Well, it has its own business logic, sort of like a service between the graph and Delve. So it Delve is much simpler. It just talks to the middle tier, we'd call it, and then that talks to the backend using some of the same APIs.
Okay.
But the version you're seeing right now is not using that. You're using a newer internal build of Delve, which uses these APIs.
Yeah.
But it will probably.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm wondering why, what is the use case about using this API? What application I can do which will be better than Delve, in fact? So
you think of it as augmenting your own services, right? So if you have a line of business system, we provide you with APIs to actually go and stitch this into. So say that you connect it to Salesforce, that you're in Salesforce. Now you have a Salesforce sales team, then you can call this API and get back all the trending documents around that Salesforce, that sales team. So I think that is sort of where you should think about applying the APIs. Yeah.
Thank you.